Okay, so last week we met the boy king, right, Yoash, who we find out here, so ben sheva shanim Yoash b'molcho, right, he's 7 years old when he becomes king. Now the story of Yoash is one of those stories that is presented very differently in Malachim and Divrei Hayamim, as we've seen in different stories. This is one of them. But anyways, Malachim, so he's 7 years old. And Bishnat Sheva Lehihu, Malach Yoash, Barim Shana Malach Yerushalayim, Hashem Yimot Tzivyam Be'er Shava. So, right, so he clearly came from a different wife, right, of the king, right, not of Ataliah, he's not Ataliah's, right, which you only find out now, but he's not Ataliah's son. So in the 7th year of Yehu, he becomes king, and he's king for 40 years. Now, for the most part, he's good, right? Vayas Yoash Yashar Ben Yadonai Kol Yamav Asher Haro Yehuda HaKohen. Right, and it makes sense because he is, as the pasuk notes, he is the he's the adopted son essentially of Yehoyada. Now, you know, in general, we've talked about this before. That in Malachim, you have, you know, the best kings, which are only like, you know, David and Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu, who do everything right. Then you have a few pretty good kings who do the right thing, except they don't get rid of the bamot. Right, meaning the bamot are to Hashem, but they don't get rid of the bamot. So Yoash is one of those. Right, and then you get the, you know, idolatrous ones, and then the ones that are only keep the egel of Yeravam. But Yoash is of the I didn't get rid of the bamot ones. Right, Raka bamot lo saru odam is abchil umikatrim bamot. So he did everything well, but people still bring on the bamot, which again probably means to Hashem, but it's still osur. Now. Despite the fact that he's not getting rid of the Bamod, he still shows primary interest in the building of the Beit HaMikdash, or in the building up of the Beit HaMikdash, more precisely. So, Vayomer Yoash El HaKohanim Kol Kesef... building up, right? Like, it's been in a bit of disrepair, because, you know, people were worshipping idols under Ataliah. So, not a building it, a building campaign, right? A facelift, like what the Bayit's doing, you know. Are they finished with it? You know.
They are. Okay. I don't see them in construction work, but the tables, I guess they're going to get new tables and new chairs.
Yeah, so like that type of thing. So
he says... They're going to do more.
Okay, all right, this was only stage one.
Money.
It's only stage one, right. So that's what he wants to pull off. Vayomer Yoash HaKohanim, Kol Kesef HaKadoshim Reshuva Beit Adonai Kesef Ofer... Ish kesef nafsho derko, kol kesef asher aleh alef ish, lahavi beit Adonai. So he tells the Kohanim, look, all the money that's brought to the Beit HaMikdash, right, whatever exactly we're talking, right, whether it's an erech, right, whatever type of neder it is, right, the shekel, the erechin, right, the, whatever it is.
Very appropriate for this week's parsha.
Yeah, exactly, right. So if it's an erech, right, he dedicates his value to the Beit HaMikdash. So I want you to take that money, and I want you to do renovations in the Beit HaMikdash.
How old was he now?
What?
How old was Yoash now?
He's... Well, we don't know exactly how old he is. Somewhere between 7 and 47. Oh.
It's a big range.
Yeah, well... It seems to be more in the beginning of his kingdom, when he's still under the very direct influence of Yehoyada. But Vayehi Bishnan Asum V'Shalosh Shana LaMelech Yehoash Lo Chizku HaKohanim Et Beit HaGabayit. But now we find out, so we don't know exactly when he started this, but in the 23rd year of Yehoash, so when he was 30, the Kohanim weren't doing what they were supposed to do. So I don't know exactly when he started, right, maybe let's say 20-something years in. So not at the beginning.
But they didn't know what he said after that.
Right, but by the 23rd year, he looks around, and the Kohanim aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Vayikra melch Yoash lo yada kohen ve lo kohanim, vayomar lehim, madu anchem machazkim et bed gabayit, vatal tichu chesef me'ed makareichem. Ki levede gabayit tithnu. So he yells at them, and he says, what are you doing? Why aren't you repairing the Beit HaMikdash? Right, don't take any of the money, put it directly towards the repair fund, meaning I can't have you in charge anymore. Right? I need it to go into a special fund, and that'll deal with it, right? I'm not just going to trust you anymore, right? So, at this place, he is, you know, this Kohen includes even Yehoyada, right? So at least as Melachim presents it, Yehoash is, he out Yehoyada's Yehoyada, right? Like, even Yehoyada HaKohen right? He's taking instructions, right? Yehoash has learned so well that he's more from than the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash.
He's saying here that the Kohanim just kept the money for their own personal use instead of sharing it with the Beit HaMikdash.
Right, so they either... Right, now, right, it could be they kept it, right, even the art scroll, right, they say it could be they kept the money, right, or it just wasn't an efficient system, and they put it in the wrong places, right, or some combination of both, right, combination of bureaucratic inefficiency, that it made it to, you know, whatever, right, it didn't, you know, it got to covering other funds in the Beit HaMikdash, but he wanted specifically that it should go to the renovations. Vayikra Melech Yehoash lo yada kohen velo kohanim vayomer lehem madu enchem mechazkim et bedek habayit v'atal tchul ez meid mechazkim et bedek habayit netnu, right? Why are you doing this? Vayitu hakohanim v'gdar chesef meir ha'am v'ti chazek et bedek habayit. So they said, fine, you know, you're right, we just won't take it, right? We won't take the money anymore, right? Whatever's going on, right? They didn't fight him on it. They didn't say, no, we're using it properly. Right now, if they were stealing it, so, right, that makes sense. They just said, look, it's not worth our, you know, he's letting us off easily. He's just not, you know, it's pretty easy to just say, why aren't you doing it right? And then to go on his way. If it's government inefficiency, so same. He says, like, okay, this isn't working. So whatever, we'll try something, you know, we'll try something different. So what he tells them to do is vayikach yehoda kohen aron echad vayikov chor bedalto vayitin oto itzol hamizbeach miyamin bevo ish be'adonai v'anu sham hakohanim shomrei hasaf et kol hakesef v'va beit adonai. So what he did was, instead he just puts it it's a special fund, right? You know, it makes sense, right? This is like it's a very smart way of doing things, right? Instead of leaving it to the generic Mikdash fund, and then you can run the risk that everyone will do whatever they want with it, and it'll be lost to to inefficiency. So he says, like, I want you to put it in the in a very specific, you know, in a separate stucco box. And the separate stucco box, so then from there we can deal with it. But again, right, in Malachim he sounds like really, really from, right? Because he's, you know, even Yehoyada Kohen here seems to be listening to him to do this, knowing it, right? He's like, you know, he's really the main force behind the Chizuk of the Mikdash, so he learned from the Kohanim, and even better. Right. So the Radak, right? The Radak is a slightly different interpretation of what was happening, right? This is like an old problem in charities, right? The Radak says that what was going on was that he was not that they were stealing it, but that they were, you know, they were of the logic that, look, it's a big renovation. Let's put everything in the bank account until we have enough money to actually do all the renovations at once, which never gets you anywhere, right? Because then you're always going to be frugal. Oh, I'll wait till I have more so I can do it properly. And he just felt like, you know, just do it. Or, the Radak says, he thought they were stealing. They weren't stealing. It was, again, it was a bureaucratic mess up. But whatever exactly was happening, right, the Alshech just says, right, ki kidera deve shutve lo kriyava lo chamima, right, he quotes the Gemara's phrase, that if two people own a pot, right, and are cooking a pot together, it'll be neither hot nor cold, right, like, too many people, right, if you just give a broad mandate, like, take money and build the Beit HaMikdash, so everyone will just be messing it up, right, so now he says, forget it, right, I gotta put it in a special fund, have special people in charge, and then there'll be no dishonesty, there'll be no mess ups, no inefficiency. People will just get around to what they're doing. So vayhi karotam ki rava kezev ba'aron vayasuv ha'melech la'kohen ha'gadol v'yitzrum v'imnu et ha'kezev and sabed ha'nai. So the system was very simple. When the stucco box was full, right? They saw that it was full. They emptied it out and they spent it, right?
They counted it. They didn't spend it. They counted it.
Right? So, and then what they would do is, when Anu Kesef Amitkan Al Yidei Osem Melachah Mufukadim Beranoi, Vetu Lachashia Eats, Lomimosem Beranoi. No, they would count it, right? It's full, count it, spend it, right? Give it to the carpenters, give it to the workmen, right? They would spend as they go, right? That was really, according to the Radak, that's his Chiddush, right? Is that they wanted to wait till they had the money for the full renovation. And Yehoash said, no, we'll spend as we go, and, you know, this way things will actually happen. They give it to the metal, to the stone workers, and to buy wood, and masons, and you and all those people to help for the Beit HaMikdash and any other expense that they needed. Ach lo yaseh Beit HaNois tipot kesef mizamrot mizakot chatzor kol chliza avach lechazem min hakasef amuva Beit HaDonai. But they didn't use it to actually build, like, the kelim of the mikdash, because they needed the money for basic renovations, right? To take a pile of silver and turn it into one menorah or one pot, right? If you're wealthy and the Beit HaMikdash has extra funds lying around, so that's fine. But when you're short on funds, they took the money and they spent it on, you know, fixing the roof, right? Or whatever, right? The equivalent, right? Fix, you know, not on super fancy vessels in the Beit HaMikdash. Right? They would give it to the workers. Ki lo seyam alacha yitnu v'chizku bo'ed be'adonai. Ve'lo yichashvu anashim ha'yitnu ed ha'kesef ha'yadam latit lo seyam alacha ki m'munah ha'yosim. But they wouldn't. Right, and this is one of, the Gemara likes pointing to this, but they didn't actually have, they had faith in the people. They didn't check every penny to make sure that the middlemen were, that they were doing it properly. They had faith in them. And Kesef Hashem v'chezek gadol yivah be'adonai l'kohanim yihyu. And the leftover money of the korbanot, that went to the kohanim. Right, that goes to the kohanim, that's not meant for the right now, the Gemara says that this is ketam is be'ach, right? That meant it went for, like, right, the mishkan and the mikdash. We don't want that there should ever be a time when the karban, when the mizbeach is empty. So we take the extra money and we bring it as karbanot, and, like, you know, kohanim get a part of all the karbanot that are on the mikdash, and that's how the midrash understands what's going on here. So until this point. Right, Yoash sounds really good, right? What's striking is that if you go to Divrei Hayamim, oh shoot, I marked off the spot and now I got to find it, right? But in right, so in Divrei Hayamim you have you have this as well, right? You know, the basic story is the same until this point. But then, if you look at Divrei Hayamim, do you have a Tanakh or do you have a Malachim?
No, I have a Malachim.
Okay, so I'll read it to you. Right, so I'll read it to you. But if you look in Dvarim in Divrei Hayamim Bet. At the end of his life, Dirayam says, "Ve'iskan Yoyada ve'isbayamim vayamot ben me'ar shloshim shana b'moto." Yoyada, when he got old, Yoyada, when he died, right? So, meaning, right, the Kohen Gadol who raised him, like Bruvir David im lachim ki asat tovah b'Yisrael ve'im ha'elohim v'veto. Right? They bury him in the Davidic tombs because he saved the Davidic dynasty. V'acharei mot Yoyada boser Yehuda v'shtachvu l'melech hashama melech aleihem. And you see this shift, that after Yehoyada dies, before this, his advisor had been Yehoyada, had been the Kohanim. But then, once Yehoyada dies, his advisors become the officers, right? The political leaders of Yehuda. Vayazvu et Beit Adonai Elohei Avotehem, vayavdu et Asherim et Atzabim. And they leave worshipping the Beit HaMikdash, and they worship idols. And they send Nevi'im to them, and they ignore them. Vayamod me'al la'am, vayomar lahem, kol mar lahem, lama atem ovrim et mitzvot Adonai v'lo tatzlichu gazavtem et Adonai ve'azev etchem. And Zechariah's, Yehoyada's son, right, Zechariah, so the son of the person who saved Yehoash, comes and he gives a nevuah, and he says, what are you people doing? So Yehoash sentences him to death, right? And they kill him in the Beit HaMikdash. And he forgot the kindness that Yehoyada had done for him, and he kills him. And then as he's dying, Zechariah says, remember this and avenge my death, essentially. And now if you go back to Malachim, what's crazy is that you don't hear this at all, right? This story doesn't appear in Malachim. What does appear is some version of the next story, which is the end of his life where he bribes Hazael, right? And that's what you get in Pasuk Yud Chet, right? Az ya'alech Hazael melech haram ve'ilachim al gad ve'il kidah v'yasam Hazael panav la'alot Yerushalayim v'ikach yo'ash melech Yudad kol ha'kadashim ha'shekdishu yoshafat v'yoram ha'chaziah avotav malchei Yudah v'kadashav et kol zahav nimtza bo'tzrei v'nai v'in ha'melech v'yishlach Hazael melech haram v'yal me'al Yerushalayim. Right, so Hazael comes, he fights with where he fights in Gat, he's facing Yerushalayim, and Yoash takes everything that's kadosh in the Beit HaMikdash and he bribes Chazael to not fight Yerushalayim, and it works. And everything else Yoash did is written in the Chronicles. And then Yoash is assassinated. Right? Now he has an assassination attempt against him. And his son takes over, who's Amatziah. And again, if you were in Divrei HaYamim, like I said, you have this whole extra story. This whole extra story. One second. Yehoash, there we go.
Something is missing here in Melachim, because he just finished to raise funds for the Beit HaMikdash and then he bribes Hazael. It doesn't make sense.
Correct. Right, and here, right, in Divrei HaYamim, the story makes a lot of more sense, because in Divrei HaYamim it says that the reason Aram comes is because Israel had rejected Hashem, which is what you hear in Divrei HaYamim. And it makes more sense, you know. Now, the interesting thing there is there you don't get, right? There you just hear that Aram attacked Yehoash, right? And it says that he actually invaded Yerushalayim, right? So this makes it even worse, right? We don't hear about Yehoash's sins in Malachim. And in Malachim, he successfully bribes Hazael to leave Yerushalayim alone. And in Divrei HaYamim, he doesn't, right?
How is it possible?
Wait one second. Is it right? Well, it's not quite true, right? What happens is he says, well, no, it's a bit ambiguous, right? Because it says that Kufar Hashana Alav Alav Chel Aram Vayavol Yudav Yerushalayim Vayishchitu Et Kol Sarei Am Ha'am Chol Shalom Shelchu LaMelech Darmasek. Right? They come and destroy, invade Yehudan Yerushalayim. Ki v'mitzar Mitzar Anashim Bo Chayel Aram Chel Aram V'Adonai Natam Yadam Chayel L'Rov Me'od Yezvu Adonai Lev Atam V'Yoash Asu Shvatim. They send with a small force of men. They come, but Hashem gives them great wealth. For Hashem had forsaken Hashem. Right? So it's not clear, right? In Divrei HaYamim it says they invaded Yerushalayim and left with great wealth, right? Which is what it says in Malachim also, right? In Malachim, he successfully bribed him, right? In Divrei HaYamim, you get the negative spin, is they came and plundered a lot of money. Both are true, right? It's just in Divrei HaYamim.
The result is the same, they lost money.
Right, meaning in Malachim, it's they didn't take didn't kill everyone in Yerushalayim, right? Because they paid them off. In Divrei HaYamim, it's they took a lot of money, right? Meaning it's a pretty negative thing, but Divrei HaYamim spins it worse, right? Because it's the aftermath of sin, right? It sort of makes sense, right? Malachim doesn't talk about how bad his sin is, so it doesn't talk about, it talks about the positive spin on his, you know, bribing Aram to leave. Here, as the Pasuk says, the problem is because he gets, right, is because he killed, right, Zechariah. And you also get the explanation in Divrei Hayamim, the reason that they rebel against Yehoram on a spiritual level, right, not like politically, but the reason that God allows it to happen is because he killed, you know, the Navi, and he left Hashem, and that this was the logical result of his rebellion, right, of his choosing the... now in Divrei Hayamim, it's even more, right, it's even more striking, right, because you get this, right, he starts off by out Kohanim, you know, being more Kohanic than the Kohanim, right, being more dedicated to Beit HaMikdash than Ho-Yada, but you see that what keeps him in line, so to speak, is only Ho-Yada. And, you know, however you want to read that, right, it could be something like, you know, Yehoyada took care of him, so he's not willing to go against Yehoyada himself. But once he becomes an adult, you know, he was the boy king. Everyone probably saw him as somewhat of a puppet. You know, and you know, no one wants to be a puppet. So once Yehoyada dies, he I don't know, he asserts himself or something. Right, but this is, like I said, this is one of the strangest differences between the presentation in Malachim and the presentation in Divrei Hayamim. Right, I'm just looking quickly at what's it called, at Alex Israel's piece on Malachim. Right now he notes that. Right now what's interesting is that usually Malachim presents kings in a less positive light than Divrei Hayamim. Right, Divrei Hayamim tends to be nicer to Davidic kings. This is the exception, right? Or one of the exceptions, right? That right, because here his the flaws are much more hidden in Malachim and are totally upfront in Divrei Hayamim. Now, I think we've talked about this before, that in Divrei Hayamim, there's a much more of an emphasis in the book on pointing to particular Schar Va'onesh. Right? Right? And therefore, right, Divrei Hayamim always writes the story in a way that makes the Schar Va'onesh very, very, very clear. Right? And even if you could have teased it out from Malachim, in Divrei Hayamim, it's much clearer. So there, it emphasizes their sin, and instead of making it sound like, right, again, you can tell the same story about bribing Aram in two ways, right? One is to say, oh, look, they didn't get killed by Aram, which is how it's presented in Malachim. Or you can say, look, right, in order to get out of it, they were plundered to the point of poverty, which in Divrei Hayamim, which is, again, much more emphasizes showing direct Schar Va'onesh, this makes sense. Now, right, you get like certain other differences. Like in Malachim, the Pasuk says he's buried in Ir David with his fathers, which sounds good. In Divrei Hayamim, they say he doesn't get buried in the royal burial site, which could be true, right? But one emphasizes the right positive, one mentions the negative. Because he could be that he didn't make it. It could be he's buried in Ir David, but not in the royal burial site. But you can say that in two ways, right? That he is buried with his father. Right. Now, the other thing, right, that's interesting is the assassination, right? In both of them, he is assassinated. But in Malachim, there's no motivation mentioned. And it says that he's, you know, killed in Beit Milo. In Divrei Hayamim, he's killed in his bed, and it's clear, right, Divrei Hayamim makes it clear that this was avenging Zechariah's death. Which again...
Zechariah's dead is Yehoyada's son.
Right, that was the Navi that he killed.
Right.
Right, so... Right now, some Mefarshim say that maybe there was two wars, right? In the first war, they bribed them successfully. In the second war, they got killed, or maybe his house was in Beit Milo. But Abarbanel, right? So the Abarbanel says, well, maybe everybody knew what had happened, right? In the time of Malachim, because it was in separate books, right, in these like royal sources. But by Divrei Hayamim, they'd lost those, right? But I think in general, right, the more likely one is what we've talked about, which is that Divrei Hayamim and Malachim tell the same story from different perspectives. And Divrei Hayamim, which is much more, right, cares a lot more about making sure that you understand Schar V'Onesh, is very detailed in it, but it's still weird, right? It's still going to be weird that in this case, Divrei Hayamim doesn't, right? Sorry, Malachim doesn't even mention the fact that he was evil at the end of his days. Now, again, the in Divrei Hayamim, right? This is like the ultimate disloyalty, right? That Yehoyada, who brought him up and saved him from Ataliah, he assassinates his son, and that's what Divrei Hayamim really wants you to understand. Right, Alex Israel also notes that in Divrei Hayamim you get the Midah Keneged Midah, right? That Yehoyada had hid Yoash in amongst the beds, and when he turns on Yehoash, when he turns on Yehoyada by killing Zechariah, he gets assassinated in his bed, right? So to speak, the same place that he used to be protected. And this is. Right, and you also get that interesting, explicit, right, request from Zechariah to punish him. Now, the interesting thing about this story is that this story becomes very famous in the Gemara, right? Because the one of those few pieces of Gemara that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, right, is about this, right? The bubbling blood, right? Remember this from those Gittin Gemaras, that when Nebuzaradan comes to the Beit HaMikdash, he sees blood bubbling in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so so one of the Gemaras there is that when Nebuzaradan comes to the Beit HaMikdash, he sees blood bubbling, and he asks everyone, and he asks, he was the person, one of the people who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. He's a Babylonian. He's one of the generals, and he sees the blood, and he says, "What's the blood?" And they say, "Oh, it's karbanot." And he says, "It's not true." So he brings some animals, and he looks at the blood, and he says, "This doesn't look like animal blood." And he said, "What blood is this? And if you don't tell me, I'm going to torture you. I'm going to tear out your skin with iron combs." And so eventually they admit that it's a Navi and a Kohen that they killed because of the Beit HaMikdash, because he was telling them that they would eventually be destroyed. And Nebuzaradan kills... Right, there's Zechariah. Yeah, Zechariah. And then, so the Gemara says that he killed hundreds and hundreds of people, and then thousands of people, and then he killed 94,000 people, and as a, kapara for Zechariah, and Zechariah's blood kept boiling. So at some point, Nebuzaradan looks at the blood, and he says, "Zechariah, right, I've destroyed so many of the Jews, right, to avenge your honor, do you want me to kill the whole people?" And at that point, the blood stopped, and Nebuzaradan was so impressed that he did tshuva, right? Because he said, if this was the punishment for killing one person, how much more for the Beit HaMikdash, right? So the Gemara sort of, imagines that this story is like the classic, right? This is like the beginning of the end. Like, this is the destruction. This is what brings down the ruthless, right? Brings the ruthlessness of Chorban HaBayit was the sins of Yehoash, right? Yehoash is like in his latter days, as written in Divrei Hayamim, is really the beginning, and part of it is because he had such high potential, right? He was raised by the Kohen Gadol, and then total disaster, right? Rebels, right? Total ingratitude, kills a Navi in the Beit HaMikdash. And this really becomes the beginning of the destruction of the Chorban. Again, it's hard to figure out exactly why, because this is, like I said, this is one of the most extreme examples of the extent to which Divrei Hayamim and Malachim seem to be presenting different stories. And it's some of it might be of the different points of the stories, but it is as things go a pretty hard circle to circle to square. But anyways, but that's the two radically different versions that we have of Yehoyada, of Yehoash rather, as you know, basically good in Malachim and beyond terrible in Divrei Hayamim.
What you said before, the Pazak uses this in his book as excuse for contradiction in the Torah.
Oh, I just picked it up. I just picked up. I finally picked up my own copy. I figured it. I was in Minster's and it was on sale.
He said there is two different perspectives, so the Torah gives you two different perspectives because there are contradictions. So stories are being told that are not exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Okay. Anyways, Shkoyach, I gotta go daven mincha, but I'll talk to you later.
Regards to everybody.
Okay, will do. Okay, talk to you later.